All right, you can't go wrong when you start kind of doing inventory on what we have in Christ. Amen. Appreciate that good message and song. I want you to turn to a story in the Old Testament. I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 14. I'm going to read a few verses and then kind of summarize the story a little bit that we're going to take our theme from this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject, why faintest thou to be someone else? You'll see it in the text as we read here. I'm going to read about the first six verses of 1 Kings chapter 14. I want you to find it with me. To get to 2 Kings, you've gone one king too far. Come back to 1st, all right? And Old Testament, after you get through 1st and 2nd Samuel, and pick up the books of Kings in chapter 14. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, the king. And get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels," that's cakes, "and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings." Now, a little bit of abbreviation on the story. Jeroboam, you remember, took the kingship of Israel as Israel was split. Israel and Judah split. After Solomon's death, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and then Jeroboam. And we find here that this prophet had told Jeroboam he was going to be king over Israel. He had told him this. And there'd been a split. And what Jeroboam had done, he feared that the Jews would go back under the house of David, that he would go back and join with Judah if they went up to the temple to worship. So Jeroboam had a little plot, and he went out and made some golden calves, some false idols, to let his people worship, to keep them separate. And in so doing, he had split off, done wrong. Now, apparently, he was somewhat in good fellowship with the prophet Ahijah, because Ahijah told him that he would be king, and yet he done this wrong. And yet, when I see the child's name, it's Abijah. Only one letter difference. I suspect here that the king had named his son after the prophet. I might be wrong, but it sort of looks that way. But now what you have here is you have him not wanting to repent, get right, and go back and face the prophet. So he sends his wife in disguise. I think about the little corny thing about the lady that was sick. She thought she was going to die. She asked God, and God said, "No, I'm going to give you 20 more years." So she got excited. She got out. She got well. She went and got some new clothes. She was going to live 20 more years. She got a facelift. She went to the gym. She went to the beauty parlor. I call it the beauty saloon, but my wife says it's salon. Anyway, when she stepped out with a new hairdo, a bus hit her and killed her. She appeared before God and she said, "I thought you said I had 20 more years." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you." So now I'm playing with you a little bit. But here's the wife of the king that goes in disguise. to fool the prophet. But she couldn't fool the prophet. The prophet was old and the prophet was getting blind, but God wasn't blind. And so God speaks to the prophet ahead of time, and he says, the wife of Jeroboam the king is coming, and the bad news is that the child's going to die. Now, if you follow all the story, the child had a decent burial and was spoken well of by the Lord, but God put a curse on the rest of the house of Jeroboam. And he said, those that die in the city, the dogs will eat. And those that die in the field, the birds will eat. But this particular son that died, somehow or another, God saw something good in him and allowed him to have a decent burial. And so what we see here as we look at this thing, we see that Ahijah's son here, Abijah, died. Maybe there'd been a split between the king and the prophet, and the king had guilt over it. But rather than repent, he did what a lot of folks do. He pulled a trick. And the trick was to disguise his wife and send her to the prophet. In other words, to try to fake out God. I want to tell you something. You don't fake out God. You just don't do that. There's no way. And the prophet might have been blind, but God wasn't. God wasn't. You know, I'll tell you something, folks. Sometimes we forget. And you read the book of Daniel, there's a group sort of like angels. We don't know much about them, but they're called watchers. Reading the book of Daniel, they're called watchers. I want to tell you something. The other side sees us when they want to. I don't know how much. I'll have to get to heaven to understand it. But God can look on. We know that. And he has others that can look on. And even the evil side can see us. Satan's side. My wife and I were traveling back from out of state. Been several years ago. We're traveling back from out of state. And we'd gotten up kind of early. I had not even a shave that morning at the motel. I was going to try to make it all the way home, and I hadn't put on my tie. We were just riding, and she realized we were passing through a certain city on the way home, and there was a mental institution there that we knew somebody in, and she said, maybe we ought to stop. Now, I debated not doing it because I was kind of unkempt, but I said, okay, we'll do it. So when we came through, we went into that institution. And nobody knew we were coming. We got permission at the head gate to go in. We got into that particular building where a lot of the, I'm going to call them patients, inmates perhaps, were housed. And got to the big door with no windows in it, no glasses, nobody could see through it. And as we got to the door, and as the guard was fixing to open the door and let us in, if you've ever been to those places, you know what happens. The crowd inside, they rush to the door. Always rush to the door. And as soon as that lock began to be turned, the whole crowd, you could hear them coming, rushing to the door. Somebody was coming in. They could not see us. The door was shut. And we heard the noise of the crowd come to the door. I've had that happen many times. But this was unusual because a voice rose out of the crowd. Above every the noise of the feet and the shuffle, a voice rose out of the crowd, and it clearly said, it's the preacher and his wife. They could not see us. We had not any announcement of coming. Somebody saw us. Somebody spoke up. I have a friend that's a preacher now. I believe maybe he's already dead, but he told me, in fact, it was either that institution or one just like it that he managed for a long time when he was a lost man, before he ever was saved. And he told me this story. He said, on the weekend, all of our hired help wanted to leave. He said, especially the weekend of the full moon. He said, people won't tell you, the authorities won't tell you, but he said, I ministered in that place as an unsaved man, and you might could say you didn't believe in God, but you couldn't say you didn't believe in the devil because you saw him all the time. He said half those people were demon possessed that were in there. He said one of the reasons he got saved and later on become a preacher. I'm telling you, folks, we are watched on the other side. You don't fool God, and you don't even fool the devil. Amen. I'm saying to you this question this morning, why feignest thyself to be another? Why feignest thyself to be another? Our nation is in the feigning business. Have you noticed that? If you've had your TV on in the last 2 weeks, it's been a terrible thing. We've watched the smear tactical spectacles up there in the Congress and all that over the judge being confirmed to the Supreme Court. And I've watched hypocrites like I've never seen hypocrites before. And those feigning themselves to be something else, feigning to represent good when they're representing bad. I think about them accusing the judge of lying. Some of the biggest liars that was in the world sitting there accusing him. Old Senator Blumenthal claimed to be a Vietnam vet, never been to Vietnam. Yet he's still sitting there as a senator accusing the judge of lying. That sort of thing. Of course, I did hear, and one of my church members told me this, what was the matter with Diane Feinstead. The reason she was so upset, he said that she was molested herself a long time ago. In fact, I think she accused Abe Lincoln. Now, he told me that, and I won't use his name, but Brother Yeager told me that. Anyway, the truth is, there's a bunch of hypocrites sitting there on the attack doing that sort of thing. I want to tell you what was good about it, though. So what could have been good about it? Here's the good part. They had the false face pulled off. They become unmasked. They've been feigning to be for America, but they're not for America. I'll tell you what the whole thing is. They've been feigning to be good, but the truth is we saw the enemy revealed, and there is an enemy out there, and America is standing in the balance, and they're feigning themselves to be America, but they've got a globalist agenda to pull America down and to make us totally different from what we have been and destroy our foundations. You heard the young men singing about it. That song they sang is telling it just exactly like it is. You got a globalist agenda out there where they want to open the borders and bring in total socialism. And if you don't want the mob you saw in the last 2 weeks running your country, you better wake up and get somebody else to wake up. I mean, it's time, it's way past time that we not only wake up, but that we speak up. That crew that's being in the streets, paid by the side, that wants to destroy our country by opening the borders, getting rid of the police, legalizing everything that is wrong and morally wrong, that is the group that's taking over America. You better not let them get in power. And we've slept too long. We really, really have. Socialism, we know, don't work. When I was, and we got some people listening to me right now, Brother Lee and others, we made the Russian trip. Two trips I did. Others kept going. I know what it is to see a country that's lost its freedoms. I mean with the general population. I mean to see zombies because it don't matter whether I work or not, I get the same thing, which is very little. I'll tell you young people something. This cry that's going on in America now about free college and all the socialism and all this, and Emmanuel up there in Chicago wanting to give everybody a free check. That's the craziest thing in the world. If they got a free check, they got more idle time to do more devilment. Plus, they're going to want to steal each other's check. I've already said that. But with all that said, talking with the young people, the students in Russia, enrolled into Moscow University and other places, I would talk to them. I'm talking about some of them that saved Christians in the underground church and doing the best of anybody. But I would say to them, what are you studying in college? What is your career going to be? And here's a sad answer, young people. Listen to me. Well, we don't know where they are going to assign us. Wow. No choice. No freedom. You can't earn it. You just get assigned. Maybe your grades say you ought to go here, your grades say you ought to go there, and you don't know whether you're going to be digging a ditch or whether or not you might be in an office, but you don't have any freedom. You don't choose your career. Is that the kind of nation we want? That's not what we've always had. We've had the freedom to earn our way and keep what we earned. And brother, we're going to lose that if we don't wake up. And we've had a great demonstration of it this week. We see a group up there that feign themselves to be Americans, but they're not. They're socialists. They're communists in the real sense of the word. They got an agenda. You got an agenda in America today? We'll get out there after church today. We'll hold up our signs against abortion. And we saw the film in Sunday school. We are a nation now that's lost the fact that God Almighty is the judge. And he says what's right and what's wrong. The abortion agenda, the homosexual agenda, the lesbian, transsexual agenda, that's being crammed by the same folks that you saw being the hypocrite. That same crowd is exactly what it's doing. And we got another group that's feigning themselves to be Americans, and that's the major media. They're on the same side to bring America down into this socialist situation. And I say to you, don't be fooled by it. Now, most of us watch Fox News, and it's not all perfect. But I want to say to you, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't get much truth at all. The spin, the bias, the ridiculous stuff. See, for a long time, now I'm glad the president came on and coined the phrase fake news. I've been calling it that and worse things for a long time. For a long time. Put the spin on it, throw it out there often enough, and like Hitler said, tell a lie often enough, you'll finally get it believed. And that's what they've done for so long. They throw the news out with its spin, with its bias, with its fakery, and then come along and do a poll to see if it's working. How many of you ever answered the phone and it was a poll to ask you? All right, several hands. I've only had that a couple of times. I'm not the best one for them to call. But I remember a woman called me one time, and it was an election time. I don't know which one it was. Might have been as far back as Reagan. I'd think it was at least after Abe Lincoln. I'm not sure where it was, somewhere in there. But anyway, long time back. And she called me on the poll and asked me which one I was for. And I told them. Of course, I picked the conservative one. And she said, but what about this? And I listened. I said, I'm still for him. She said, but what about this? And I said, yeah, but I'm still for him. She said, and what about this? And I said, I don't know how long your list is, but you're not going to change my mind, lady. That's the way they get their polls. That's why you can't pay a whole lot of attention to the things. It's a part of the propaganda that they want to put out there. I say to you, there's a lot of feigning going on. A lot of fakery going on. There's a lot of feigning goes on in church. Amen. You know, the excuse that the lost people use for not coming to church is because they claim the Christians are hypocrites. Do you know, some of the time they're right. There's too many folks come to church and feign to be a Christian when they're not. Feign to live for Christ, but they don't. Feign to believe the Bible, but they don't. Feign to be taking a stand and supporting missions and the church and the cause of getting the gospel out, but they don't. They're just feigning it, disguised. Disguised. When I was a kid, I never was into music much, kids. I couldn't sing it, so I didn't mess with it. I didn't even have a radio in one of my cars because I drug raced it, and the radio weighed 20 pounds sitting still and 100 pounds when you crossed the finish line. Some of you figure that out. Anyway, so I didn't even play the radio much. I had some buddies that did. I remember a few songs. I remember 16 Tons and What Do You Get? Another Day Older and Deeper in Debt. Remember Ernie Ford on that? I remember that one. I remember one or two, Secret Love, Young Love, Some Kind of Love. I don't remember what it was. I remember one, though, just a little bit. And I can't give you but nothing but the title, I guess, of it. And it was called The Great Pretender. And I thought, clicked in my mind when I was reading this text, pretense. Feigning, faking, disguising, hiding the truth. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it even goes on in church. It went on in Jesus' day. If you were to look in Luke chapter 20, I'll just flip over and read you something. Here the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus. The priests and the scribes, they're trying to trap him. And I read over here in verse 20 where it says, and they watched him and sent forth spies. I hear something going off. I think I made the devil mad this morning. Y'all better hold on with me. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men. Do you get that? Feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. Now you get that? Fake. It's not just in our age, it's happened before. Feign themselves as just men. Feign themselves as somebody they were not. And yes, a lot of feigning even goes on in church. People claim to love the church. I want to tell you something. Jesus started the church. You don't have a better idea than that. You ought to be a member of a good Bible-believing church. You can serve Christ through it much better than you can by yourself. And you ought to attend it. And you ought to tithe. And you ought to give to missions. And you ought to try to learn how to win souls. Folks, if we don't get back to what we're supposed to be doing, we're going to lose the freedom to even do it in this country. Amen. Amen. Help yourself, Mickey. The truth is, we're seeing too much feigning going on. Too much pretending going on. People say, well, I believe the Bible. Let me ask you a question. I said this recently. I said it on Wednesday night, maybe last Sunday, I don't remember. I said, I strained everything through the Bible. When I hear, I want to see what God says about it. I want to see if it's true by his yardstick. Amen? Now think about it. If I really believe this book, don't you think that's going to make a difference in my life? Don't you think my lifestyle will line up a little closer with it if I believe it? Right? I mean, it'll help me to look like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, smell like a Christian. Amen and amen. It'll make a difference in my life if I believe the book. If I don't believe it, then I'll say, well, God means that for everybody else, but he don't mean it for me. Right? You see, a lot of folks have that attitude. That's good for Joe. That's good for Bill. But God understands my situation. Yeah, he sure does. You're not feigning him a bit. You're not fooling him a bit. Truth is, he knows it all the way. And there's too much feigning going on, even in church. We ought to join it. We ought to serve through it. Because it's what Jesus started. He didn't start General Motors or the Congress. He started the church. In Ephesians 5, it says he loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for it. Ultimately, one day, there's going to be a wedding. The church, in a general sense, we'll call it the bride because that's what it will be. You understand what the Lord is saying? He is saying it's important to him. When you show the Lord what you think of him, you can show it to him how you look to the Bible, how you look to prayer, how you look to Christian living, and how you look to his church. Those things send a message to God. Amen. A lot of folks, though, are in the feigning business. And the question, why feignest thou to be another? Some feign themselves, make others think they're saved. You know what? It's easy to fake out people, right? Kids learn how to fool parents, don't they? When kids are young, parents learn how to fool kids. But the truth of the matter is, well, none of us fool God. Never. It's easy to fake out people. You can come to church. You can learn to say brother and sister and learn the church language. That's not hard to learn. You can even learn the church songs. You can even sing some of them. But are you feigning it or is it real? Is it real? Oh, I say to you, we need to make it real. You know, the biggest shock to me as a pastor sometime is folks that I have preached to for a long time, and then I talk to them and find out they have missed the essentials. They don't understand even the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're saved by his grace, that we can't earn it, we can't be good enough. It's not who we are, it's who he is that makes the difference in whether or not we make it to heaven, brother. He paid for our sins. Are you trusting anything else but what he did for you, then you're wrong and you're going to be lost. Be sure you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ paid it, paid for your sins. He paid for every one of them. He paid it all. It's all to him you owe, as the song says. And get a hold of that and understand it. Because just like this woman walked into the prophet's door, she didn't fool him one inch. Time the sound of her feet hit the porch, we'd call it, he called her out by name. We're not fooling God a little bit. Who are you feigning yourself to be? You know, you just can't fool God. Over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was talking. He said, and he was basically referring to the judgment day, when he said that a lot of people come before him. And here's what he said. He said, when they come before him, they'll say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And what does he say back? He said, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you. I didn't know you a while and lost you. I never knew you. You see, some folks are going to feign their way all the way to the judgment before the disguise is pulled off, before the false face is ripped away. Best to face it now. Face it now. Are you genuine? Are you real? Or are you feigning it? No excuse to see the politicians and other feigning to be something they're not. That makes us sick. I'll tell you what, I believe it makes God sick too, when we feign ourselves to be his when we're not. When we're not. You can't hide in the crowd. How many of you ever done this? I've done it. I'm sure you have. In school in particular, especially when they were looking for a volunteer, or when I was trying to get away with something, stand behind somebody else in the crowd. You ever do that? Yeah? Don't let them see me. Right? And you got caught at it sometime. I spent 2 nights on guard duty one time because I was trying to dodge the first sergeant when he was looking for somebody. And he saw me step over a little bit behind the next guy and he called me. Wow, if an old first sergeant can do that, how about God Almighty? Amen? I want to say to you, you don't fake out God. Are you feigning yourself to be somebody you're not? You know, in Matthew 22, the Lord told this parable. He gave the illustration of how a man prepared a big wedding supper for his son. Of course, the analogy was God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the wedding supper of the Lamb. And how that when he brought all in, went out and had the bad and good, and everybody, the call was given out, and when they all come in to the wedding supper, he spotted a man. Out of the whole crowd, he spotted a man that didn't have on a wedding garment. And he told his servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness. The illustration, the analogy, the point was somebody's going to feign themselves to be a believer. They're going to feign themselves to be saved. They're going to feign themselves to be God's child when they're not. And they're going to get caught. See, when you get saved, you get a coat, a wedding garment. You get a robe of righteousness that belongs to Christ. You don't own one. He gives you his. And if you show up without his, you're naked and lost in your sins. Have you ever received Jesus? To receive Jesus is to get a wedding garment, to get a covering that you don't have without him, to get a righteous robe that you don't have without him. Have you ever received him? Do you know him as Savior? I'm asking you this morning, don't walk out of this building feigning to be something you're not. If you've not been born again and saved and know it, don't feign it. You'll get caught. There's nobody big enough in this world to hide behind, and nobody big enough in the next world to hide behind. The Lord knows about you. Are you feigning yourself to be something you're not? I pray you're not. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, it would be highly unusual in a room this size if everybody was genuinely born again, saved. There's a great possibility, Father, even on the church roll here, there may be somebody feigning themselves to be a Christian, feigning themselves to be saved when they're not. Father, I pray for them right now. I pray the scales would fall off their eyes and they'd realize that they're naked in your sight. They have no covering that they can hide behind, no disguise, no false face. They can't feign themselves to be another. You know exactly who they are. I pray, Lord, you'd bless in this invitation that the people would face reality and say, am I God's or not? Am I fooling somebody else? Am I fooling myself? I cannot fool God. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts and your Holy Spirit would draw. Do what I can't do, Father. All I'm commissioned to do is share your word. And I pray, Father, for that soul that the Holy Spirit will speak to even right now. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We are going to sing a song. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll face reality and truth, will you come right now? Will you come and receive Christ as your Savior? Get a covering you can't produce. Get a righteousness that's not yours, but His. Will you come? You come as we say.
Just as